Hi, and welcome to the Lactation Training Lab podcast. I'm Christine, an IBCLC and lactation career coach. I'm the host of the Evolve Lactation Community, a membership group which helps current and aspiring lactation care providers optimize their lactation practice and career through resources, information, and mindset shifts that help them to clarify and reclaim their purpose and mission in lactation work. I've been in the lactation field for more than 21 years now, and this podcast is my way of sharing with you what I've learned and what the future may hold for those of us supporting families and babies. Whether you're seasoned or studying, I hope this show will make you think and inspire you to act. Let's get started. On today's episode, I welcome another guest. Today's guest will be Fiona Lang-Sharp, and she's turned the tables so that she can interview me on my podcast. I hope you enjoy this conversation between Fiona and I. Here we go.
Right?
I can. It would be really dangerous.
Yeah, I think they'd love it every time I come through the door. Like, oh, there's that girl from Canada. Yeah.
I think we're all like that, though.
Yeah.
Anybody who goes in there.
And you know what? We could actually, at a different time, we could talk about how to utilize planners, you know, in your business, because I think that'd be super helpful. And mm-hmm. since you and I both love Erin Condren, I'd love to talk to you more about that. But today, we're actually going to be talking about a few other things. And I guess we should introduce you to to my audience today so that they can get to know you better and understand a little bit about you. But I will preface it that with the fact that you're a very good friend of mine. And but you're also very knowledgeable. That's why I really wanted to interview. So thank you for letting me sit down. And really, I'm going to pick your brains so that we can give our different teams some really great insight. And I think we're going to be sharing this across our platforms as well together. So that's going to be great. Maybe you should interview me too. We'll do a dual.
I know. Set, we need to turn this around. Reverse this.
All right. Well, tell people who you are. I'll introduce myself too, but you introduce yourself first and let people who know who you are and what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for all the nice things that you said. I'm Christine. I'm Christine Starica. I'm in Bakersfield, California. And something not everybody knows about me is that I'm actually a native New Yorker. I was raised on Long Island and moved to California when I married my husband. So we were both in the Navy, and that's how we met. And he is a native of Bakersfield, California. So we've lived here, raised our children here, and I've lived here since 1994.
Right. How many children do you have?
We have three daughters. They are 20, 23, and 26.
Excellent.
So, hard to believe.
I know. Somebody asked me my children's age yesterday. I don't like to talk about it. It's still kind of weird. but I do have a 31-year-old. So it is true. And it just happened that way. Yeah. So I'm Fiona Lang-Sharp, as you can see, up on your screen there. And today we are going to be, mostly actually, I think asking Christine some questions, a little bit about her life, but also some business things too. We wanted to give folks some tools, that they can take away from this, particular interview that they can apply in their business. So she has allowed me to come online and really pick her brain on a few things. But let's wind back. I want to know some personal things about you. And I had given you a heads up that I was going to get a little bit personal with you today, but I think it's really important. We're all trying to find this relatability in our lives today, who we are connected with, why. And we're trying to reach for some freedom beyond the perfectionism. I had talked about my, you know, character defects, should you call them. There is this really difficult part of me that I want everything to be perfect before I do it. And therefore I just procrastinate forever. So here we are, it's not perfect. Just accept us the way we are. Okay. Right.
Absolutely. I agree.
So tell me, so your journey started in New York, which I actually didn't know. And you made it out to California. How, why?
Well, my husband and I were both in the Navy. That's where we met.
Both were in the Navy. Okay, yes. Gotcha.
So we were both stationed at the same helicopter squadron in Jacksonville, Florida. Mm. And when we met, we decided not to stay in the Navy. We were both up for renewal, and we decided not to stay in. So we decided to move back here to his hometown. Mm-hmm. And It's an affordable place to live in California.
Right.
And ultimately, with the job that he got, it's the kind of job where you can live anywhere in California, but why wouldn't you live somewhere where your money goes a little further?
Sure.
So Always. It's been a great place to raise kids. And, you know, like anywhere, it's got its issues, but we've lived here so long and we hope to get an opportunity to live somewhere else after this part of our lives, which is kind of winding down. He's getting ready to retire. And
oh, good.
That's our next exciting sort of family thing on the horizon.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And so when you did come out to California, you set yourself up, you knew you were going to have your family here. How soon afterwards did you have your family and sort of get stuck into things?
It was pretty quick. We moved out in 94. We had been married for a few months and I got pregnant in 95 and we had our first daughter on New Year's Day of 1996.
Oh, good.
So it was very, we like to pick, you know, like nice, even
some
dates.
Nice dates.
So she was born in 96. And so we started our family pretty early. And that experience of having her was really the kicked off what would eventually become my career in lactation.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, so there's a lot of people listening in who are just kicking off their careers. And some of it comes from experiences that we've had and so forth and so on. And so is that what happened to you? Like, how did you make that jump into lactation?
Yes, but a little bit differently than most people tell a story of some variation that breastfeeding was incredibly difficult for them, mm-hmm. or they didn't encounter the support that they needed. And so, you know, that led them into, you know, this is something that they wanted to do and they wanted to give back. Well, for me, I had that baby in 1996 and then I had another in 1999 and mm-hmm. started going to a breastfeeding support group with one of my friends who also had a baby and just attended it, not because I needed to. I really didn't have anything going on with my breastfeeding, but it was super fun. And I was meeting all these nice people with babies and it was amazing. And during that time, I ended up having another baby. And so, you know, by the time I'd been going to this group for about 2 years, now I had two babies and the leader of the group, she was a former La Leche League leader and an IBCLC in the hospital. And she came to me and my friend who had been coming to this group all along and said, there's an opportunity for some training here in town and you two would be really good at this. And I, mm-hmm. you know, I could see this as something that you might want to do. And I thought, oh, wow. I mean, I was just blown away. And then I started thinking about what my experiences had been like with breastfeeding, because, you know, I think we do that. We compare what happened for us
sure.
with what we think it should look like for other people and, you know, what was missing, what was lacking. Mm-hmm. And I thought back and I thought, you know, everybody else is really mad about their breastfeeding situation or what went wrong for them. And a lot of people have distress and feel bad and feel guilty or feel really sorry. And I don't have any of that about my first breastfeeding experience. It was very straightforward for me and I never felt any like guilt around anything. And I really started reflecting on why that was. And what I really started to understand with the help of that leader and the class that I ended up taking was that my experience was that no one in my entire life, no one around me ever told me that breastfeeding was important.
Oh, okay.
It was, the message was always, you can choose to breastfeed or formula feed, and you shouldn't feel guilty about which you choose.
Mm.
That was the overwhelming message that I got from people, from doctors, from magazines and books. It was right. all about how you shouldn't feel guilty. And I kept thinking, is there something wrong with it? I don't feel guilty. I just did what I did. And I don't have these deep feelings wrapped around
right.
all of it. So it was really that sort of understanding how we got to a place of where that was the message that people were getting. And I mean, it still raises my blood pressure to this day to even think about the fact that the way we got there is because of commercial influence and
right.
marketing. So yeah. that's really my origin story in the lactation field.
Yeah. And so as you moved forward with that messaging that resided, was it then you had an overwhelming sense of detachment from it in a sense? Or, I mean, how did you translate that into when you saw mothers? Because now we all know that we carry a bias. How did that then situate you with then meeting potentially clients?
I mean, I think that because my experience the first time was, it's not that it was easy. I mean, mm-hmm. I went home from the hospital the very first night and began combo feeding. So my first daughter was breastfed and formula fed.
Right.
Right from day one through about 4 months when my milk production pretty much dried up because I wasn't breastfeeding very much. And so mm-hmm. we went to full-time formula. And then with my second baby, when I was pregnant, I thought, okay, well, I'll try breastfeeding again. And for some reason, I just never felt like I needed to give her formula. It just never really occurred to me. It just worked. Right. Didn't really have any issues. So I had these two really different experiences, I felt like.
Right.
So when I come to the situation, when I think about where my biases are, mm-hmm. it's really, I really think about people's influences and where they're starting when mm-hmm. they are having a baby. As kind of being, because that was my experience of like, right. what was my starting point? So that's kind of how I approach people. I think now I really need to know what their starting point is, and it's not the question of like, well, are they really committed? It's nothing like that. It's like, what do they know? How do they feel? Are they scared? Are they feeling like they have a ton of information about it? And mm-hmm. like, you know, really, literally, where are they? So how can I fit into that? Like, how can I give them what they need to get where they want to go?
Right. So what I hear you saying is you're talking about the principles of meeting clients where they're at, which is a simplified form of, you know, what you're suggesting, and utilizing our counseling skills of really hearing the story. Is it that you do a history taking to actually ask these questions? Like, tell me a bit about the business component so that students know kind of where you ended up landing with some of this. What is it that you're doing to actually, you know, find out these details and then impact potentially the care that you provide?
I think that I start by, you know, I always like to start by letting people tell you what they came to you to tell you. You know, they need to explain in their words, why are they there? Why are they mm-hmm. asking you for help? And I have the privilege at this point in my career to be working in a setting where people are coming to me for help. So in private right. practice, community setting, people are coming to you. And when you work in a hospital, it's different. I worked in a sure. hospital before, and you're mm-hmm. working with a lot of people who may not be as interested in breastfeeding as you think they are, but it's your job to make sure that you're available for them. So it's really different now. And when people yeah. come to me because they have a problem, I like to hear what they need to say first. Mm-hmm. And before we go anywhere, before there's any like answers or feedback on what they're saying, I want to know how that is working for them. Because sometimes people tell you things that they don't actually want to solve.
Right.
It's almost like they want to tell you the story of how it's going. And right. that's actually, whatever it is, it's not a problem for them. So that's what mm-hmm. I really want to know, because I learned very, very early on that it's almost never the first question that they ask you. Right. There's a deeper question in there. And if you go into an interaction with somebody and the first thing you do is give them some sort of knowledge or, mm-hmm. you know, answer with a fact or just start answering their questions immediately, mm-hmm. you're not going to get to the root of the question, and they're not really going to be satisfied, because people are looking for, you know, more from a lactation consultation than simply an answer. If they wanted an answer, they would have Googled it. But when they want to talk to a person, they need to talk about it. They really need to get it out.
Yeah, I actually love that, because it is true. I think, I mean, you can use Google for a lot of things. And I think that it's a big myth when we say, oh, don't Google it, because quite honestly, there are things you can Google that are super helpful. I do it all the time, every day,
yep.
you know, but there is a difference, and you're right. You know, they when they come to you to see you, it's because they haven't been able to resolve the problem that they are then dealing with. But there is, like you said, there's a history and there is a story behind what they want. And so having them share that story or talk about it may uncover things that they didn't even realize about themselves. So you're going to ask them to describe exactly what's been happening, what it is they want, and perhaps what their goals are too. We hear that a lot from professionals.
Sure. I mean, sometimes it feels like if somebody is not very forthcoming about that, we can always ask a more directed question like, you know, what did you picture this would look like at this point, say 2 weeks into breastfeeding? You know, what were you picturing and how does this compare?
Yeah.
You know, just to give them a little framework to put around it and to sort of determine, you know, where they are on that scale. Are they frustrated? Are they happy? Mm-hmm. Are they totally ready to throw in the towel today? You know, wherever they are, they need the opportunity to be able to filter that through somebody else. And I feel like that's one of the biggest roles that we have nowadays is helping people filter through the information they've already received to figure out, you know, all those things they Googled, which things apply to them, you know, what is their situation? Because they don't always have that same awareness that say, you know, if their baby was born late preterm, then the instructions that they get about whether they should wake up their baby or not for feedings are going to be different for somebody who took home a full-term healthy baby. Like that's just not something that is in the main awareness. So that's what we're here for, is really to help people specify which information is going to fit for them. And I think that's what lactation counselors and educators are so good at, because they have that foundation of knowledge and they're really listening for those. They're trained in counseling, they're trained to listen, and they're looking for those gaps so they can help fill in the gaps with the information, you know, and then determine if there's somebody who needs a higher level of care, has a more complex situation. But, you know, there's so much room for that. It's almost like that is also a great safety net of lactation educators and counselors, people who have, you know, 45 hours of training or so, they have this opportunity. And there's so many more people who have that than people who have already gone through the process of becoming an IBCLC.
Sure. Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy? Like the population is so much bigger. So there's so many more of them to help.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I love that for the students that I teach too, is that they're just so eager to help. And there are so many ways that they can do it. So I wanted to recap on this so that folks can hear how we're breaking it down for them. So the first thing that we're going to do is definitely a good history taking and a storytelling of sorts. You want to hear some key things, some background, some history, what's happened, what's going on, and get the parent to really share. The second thing I heard you say, Christine, is that, you know, they've already Googled it. So you're there intentionally to help them filter some of the information that they perhaps have already received and make it applicable. But what's the last thing that you're going to do? Or the third element, I guess we can say on this call of, you know, to tie it all together for them when you're wrapping it up?
You know, that's a really great question, because that is the place where you take that whole conversation you've just had, everything that you've been thinking about as you've been talking, everything that they've said that you've observed or witnessed in this interaction, and you start sifting through to just surfacing the most important things. So we may have talked about a lot of things, but the most important thing that I need you to go home and remember is that, you know, responding to your baby's cues is going to help your baby get enough milk. You know, whatever those things are that are coming out of it, you know, just trying to help them walk away with like maybe three or four things that are super important verbally. And then in any way that we can, communicating things on paper, via links that are sent to their phone or their email, just other things they can take home, but taking home just a couple of things that they can change, that they have control of, because that's what I want them to remember. They have control of almost everything that is happening, because so many times I think people come to us because they think that things are out of their control. Sure. Like they think of milk supply as this thing that's just like, it comes to them from, I don't know, from the heavens, and it's unchangeable. Like, oh, I just have a bad milk supply. Well, milk production is a process that you can have some influence over. Of course, there are times when, you know, there are problems with it and there are things that you can't control, but there's always something about it that you can control, you know, and there's, you know, that's what I want them to hear, is those things about their situation that they can control or change right now that may help them to feel better just immediately, even if it takes time to work on the other issues that are going on for them, whether they're complicated or not. Some things just take time, like healing nipples takes a couple of days. It doesn't happen, you know, 2 hours from now, but fixing latch and feeling more comfortable when you're feeding, my goodness, you can do that immediately. Go home and repeat
exactly. I love it. So we're going to take a great history taking, listen to what's been happening, the sharing of the story, the filtering of all the information. So the information, they may have all the information already, which is really interesting today, right? You show up and you're like, oh, you've already got this information, but filtering it is really the key as a lactation educator. And then the third thing is to present things that are actually tangible and doable in that moment and keep it simple, because all the other things, like you said, low milk supply or even cracked and sore nipples, they're going to take time to heal. You can't instantly do those things, which is sometimes the expectations, but that's where you have to manage that and just be realistic with the client. So, I mean, right there, we've built a simple consult with three elements, you know, tied all together, which I think is brilliant. I think we're brilliant.
I think we did a good job. It's so true though. I mean, you know, with the education that you can get, about how lactation works, there's so much that you can do. But you have to remember that the basis and the foundation of all of it is the human interaction and the ability to listen to somebody and to hear what it is that they need or what they want in that moment. So, you know, you could have 75 hours of education or you could have 700 hours of education. But if you're a terrible listener or you don't have the ability to connect with people, then you are not going to be very effective at counseling people who need your help. You can't just spit information out at people like a robot. we have to filter it and we have to customize it to what they actually need.
Right. Yeah. It'd be like going to a consult and saying, okay, don't do this, do that. Don't, you know, and yeah, it's not going to work. It's definitely not going to work. Well, thank you. Before I let you go, so that is really, you know, our educational component, you know, to learn from today. But I also wanted to also give you opportunity to plug some of the things that you're doing. I want folks to check you out as well and go onto your site and see what you're doing. But perhaps you want to share, you know, I know that you've come a long way in your career and there's different things that you're doing now, but tell folks what you're actually doing in the background right now as well.
So clinically, mostly what I do is I work in my local baby cafe, which is a way of, you know, providing clinical lactation care to clients in the community. And I do a little bit of private practice as well. But for the most part, my focus is really on educating people in the lactation field and other healthcare workers about how lactation works. So several years ago, I developed a program that I call the First 100 Hours. And it's really an early lactation care strategy designed to help people look at the earliest hours and days of lactation through that specific lens. What is supposed to be happening? What do we expect? What can parents do to optimize their breastfeeding journey and make sure that they're on the right track? And what can we do as healthcare workers to facilitate that? Developed that program, and I've been teaching it for a while, and it's now part of a larger program that I've put together for lactation care providers and aspiring lactation care providers, where they, for a membership fee monthly, they join me my community of other people who are in this field, and we talk about the issues that are going on. We talk about how to break through stumbling blocks in your lactation career, frustrations. As you all probably know, there can be a lot of frustrations. There can be compassion fatigue and burnout in this field. Yeah. There can be a lot of things that make it hard to, you know, make our visions come true. We all dream of helping all the people and making breastfeeding really accessible to everybody. And we run into all of these challenges. So we come together to sort of solve those, not maybe not solve, but, you know, work together on those frustrations and come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, learning opportunities are involved in there. And one of them actually came to mind while we were talking, and you were asking about how, you know, any biases that I might be bringing in. And So there's a program contained within that membership that I call Lactation Practice Without Fear. Mm-hmm. Because what I've learned over the years is that when lactation care providers approach their work from a place of unprocessed baggage about their mm-hmm. own birth and breastfeeding experiences, they can be effective for a time, but there does come a point where they generally run into a roadblock and they find that they're no longer effective. Mm-hmm. And it's mainly because they're bringing some biases in that they aren't even aware of. And the most important thing we can do to help people, you know, in our field, people that we know, is just kind of point those things out so that they have some space, so they can make space mm-hmm. and do some work to help, you know, process their own experiences in a way that makes them helpful. Because mm-hmm. no matter what your situation was, what happened to you, your experience, how frustrating, how traumatic, no matter what it was, there is a way that you can ultimately use that experience to help other people. But it doesn't always happen automatically. Sometimes you have to do work. And so that's what that program really is. It's some exercises to help work through some things that most people can find accessible and be able to use. And there's always going to be some people where it brings up some things that mean, you know, maybe they need to get a different kind of help from somebody who's trained in therapy or counseling. But it's a good start for just knowing how to run through and figure out if what you're doing is helpful or if it's possibly bringing some outside tension into the situations when you're talking with moms and families. So I feel like it's a really underutilized thing at this point, but it's kind of my fault. I haven't talked about it a lot. So
that's really awesome.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that program. Aww. And so the membership is called Evolve.
Right.
Because I believe that learning is a lifetime endeavor. Mm. No one will ever know everything there is to know, especially about lactation. And if we are intentional about our learning process and we are always working on it, mm-hmm. we are only going to get better and serve our clients better in the process.
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And we'll put all your details in the description next to this recording as well, so that people can check you out and head on over to your website and then to your community as well, which is called Evolve. Thank you, Christine.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. And for everybody who might be listening, who is kind of getting started or thinking about getting started in this field, you've made a wonderful choice. There's, you know, there's room at the table for everyone. And
everyone.
We absolutely need you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you again. And we'll look forward to seeing everyone next time. Bye-bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.